Are you the kind of person who likes surprises? I do. My birthday was just a little over a week ago. And in the weeks leading up to my birthday, I had family and friends ask me, "Wayne, what do you want for your birthday?" And to each and every one of them, I said the same thing. "I don't know. Surprise me." I like surprises. I really do. And over the years, I have received some wonderful Christmas and birthday gift surprises. I've also received some, "What were they thinking?" surprises as well. But I really do. I really do like surprises. Yesterday, I saw a 3D film, a recent release. The film was Gravity. I saw it at the Cinerama, starring George Clooney and Sandra Bullock. You talk about a film that has surprises in it. I won't spoil it for you, but I want to tell you right up front, there are some fabulous surprises in this movie, including one about faith and prayer, done in a way that is remarkable for Hollywood. If you like surprises like I do, then you're going to enjoy those two readings, the one from 2 Kings and Paul's second letter to Timothy. For in both of those readings, we have surprising believers. Now, there's two ways you can interpret surprising believers. First, surprising believers. It's about believers who surprise us. For example, the army commander Naaman in the 2 Kings reading, and the leper who returned to give thanks to Jesus for the healing he received. The surprise here is that both of these are foreigners. These are people who worship other gods, and we might expect that these stories be about the Jewish faithful, but they are about surprising believers. A second way you can read the description surprising believers is that believers get surprised. Naaman scoffs at the idea when the slave girl tells him that there is a prophet in her home country who can heal him of his leprosy. And the Samaritans, only one returns, and that one too was a foreigner. When we look a little closer at these stories, I invite you to consider the situation regarding the Syrian army officer Naaman. He was notorious throughout all of Israel for his raids on Israel. His habit was to plunder towns, take captives and all the wealth and food too, and for those who were left behind, there was not much in the way to survive. No wonder he was surprised when the servant girl told him stories about the prophet Elisha's powers to heal. What in any of those places he had raided and left desolate could help him? Surely that little river Jordan was nothing compared to the Damascus River and other rivers in his region. Of course, he considered her conversation idle talk. Now, here is a really surprising thing. The one who speaks up and out about this prophet in her home country, about this one and only God who is truly worthy of being praised and giving our gratitude. Well, she was captured by Naaman's army, dragged off into captivity. I find it surprising. I don't know about you. Maybe you're a better person than I am. But I find it surprising that every night before she went to bed, she didn't give thanks to God that this creep had leprosy. Thank you, God! Only we would say, thank you, Jesus, right? Thank you, Jesus. I hope he suffers. I hope he suffers really long. And I hope his death is really long from leprosy as well. Don't raise your hands. I already know that you share those same kinds of thoughts. We cannot help that. But here's an interesting thing. Here is the servant girl, torn away from her family, serving the wife of Naaman, the army officer who leads the raids, telling him gladly how there is this prophet in her country who can heal him, and this river. I mean, you know, you just have to wonder about this. I mean, how could she be such a willing co-conspirator with him in his healing? The testimony of her surprises us, because we realize when it comes to faith, faith isn't about doctrines or teachings or creeds. It's about what we do with what we believe in, what we do with what we put our trust in. And in this case, she put her trust in that gracious and loving, that God who was slow to anger, steadfast and merciful in love. And so she tells him about it, prays for him, gives new meaning to Jesus's pray for your enemies. And then there is Jesus in the story of the 10 lepers. Here Jesus is doing one of those things that you just know that the people who loved him just winced every time he said things like, hey, I know, let's go to Galilee through Samaria. That'll be fun. I haven't seen that part of the area, and I hear lots of good things to see about it. Oh, I know that the people there don't always worship in the right way, but still, it'll be fun, trust me. And there he is, going through Samaria, where the real Israelites, those who lived in the southern kingdom in Judah, truly despised their brothers and sisters in the north, because in the north they had frequently been raided by the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and others, occupied, and in order to get along, they worshiped foreign gods. But those in the south felt themselves to be better and despised their brothers and sisters in the north. So here is Jesus making a visit to Samaria. You're just hoping, if you're one of his disciples, that, you know, nothing bad is going to happen, that he'll be able to get through Samaria without any kind of an incident, when lo and behold, coming at him, coming directly at him, are 10 leprous men shouting and yelling, Lord, have mercy on us! Lord, have mercy on us! But in the same way, being respectful and knowing to keep their distance, for believing that Jesus nearly had to say the word, and they would be healed. Surprising believers, are they not? But Jesus was surprising them as well. He heard their cries for mercy. And he simply says to them, go to the priest. Why go to the priest? They had to go to the one person who could give them a clean bill of health, who could say to the community, the towns, the villages, their families, yes, you can take them back. And as they went, they were healed. And we know the story, we know it well. We know the one that turns back to give thanks and praise to Jesus. This is one who not only received the gift, but received the giver too. How often we receive the gift, but not the giver as well. He received Jesus for the way in which the Son of God, the Savior of the world, is received. Through gratitude. Two people in these stories, a servant girl and a foreigner who suffers from leprosy. These are two people who have what I'd like to call passionate gratitude. Now, I don't know about you, you probably have a passion. I have several passions. One of my passions is fly fishing. I love fly fishing. I'd like to say I love catching, but that's another matter. There's always the fishing, though. What is your passion? People ask you that question, what is your passion? Were it that, all of us in the church had a passion for gratitude, passionate gratitude, giving thanks and praise in the most difficult of times, as well as in those times of joy. Passionate gratitude. That's what these two people have that is so surprising. Surprising believers. Receiving Jesus isn't so much about what you believe about Jesus as it is what difference does it make in your life and in the life of others that you believe in Jesus. It made a difference in that servant girl's life. She believed in her God and in the prophet Elisha. It made a difference in the life of that Samaritan leper who came to Jesus with the others crying, "Lord, have mercy." It ended up making a difference in Naaman's life as well, as he would come back and build an altar greater than all the other altars to give thanks and praise and to declare to all that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. They were glad to accept whatever gift they had received, but accepting Jesus as the Savior, the Son of God, that was what that leper did. Sometimes those who are the strangest and the farthest away from Jesus see Jesus better than those of us who are close. Again, I say it isn't so important what you believe as it is what difference does it make, not only for yourself but for others, that you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. That you believe in a gracious and loving and merciful God. That you have passionate gratitude. Passionate gratitude. For God's grace is a surprising answer for surprising believers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.